Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, December the 10th, we mark Human Rights Day with a call by Caritas Europa to the new European Commission to ensure the dignity of all people. The Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue promotes interreligious solidarity. And Pope Francis speaks of the tenderness of the Father towards his flock. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. The government of the Czech Republic has confirmed that a gunman with an illegal weapon shot dead 6 people and wounded 3 more in a hospital waiting room in the Czech city of Ostrava. After the attack, the gunman took his own life. As Stefan Boss reports, his motive remains unclear.
Armed police rush to the Ostrava University Hospital's trauma clinic. It is here where a waiting room was turned into a bloodbath. The hospital's director says a gunman opened fire without warning, hitting 9 patients. At least 4 men and 2 women were killed in the early morning shooting. 3 others were wounded, 2 seriously. All of the victims were patients at the hospital. Officials said the 42-year-old suspect used an illegal held checkmate 9mm gun. Soon after the shooting, he fled the scene. Several hundred police officers then launched an extensive search using 2 helicopters for the suspect and his silver-gray Renault Lugana car. 3 long hours later, security forces found the suspect in the vehicle. But Interior Minister Jan Hamacek said he shot himself in the head as they approached. The man died from his injuries about half an hour later. Hamacek said police would be investigating his motive, which remains unclear. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš called it a huge tragedy. He said in a statement that it was an unfortunate individual act. The government said there was no danger anymore for the public. Deadly shootings remain rare in the Czech Republic, which is a European Union member state. But there have been concerns about many illegal weapons in Eastern Europe and the Balkans. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
In New Zealand, rescue parties searching for survivors were unable to set foot on White Island today for fear of new eruptions of the volcano. 8 people are reported missing and the death toll was raised to 6 from the eruption on Monday. Police said they doubt any more survivors would be found. The latest victim died in hospital, having been among the more than 30 people injured in the eruption on the uninhabited island, which is also a popular sightseeing excursion for tourists. Authorities said reconnaissance flights showed no signs of life on the ash-covered island. Today, December the 10th, we observe Human Rights Day. It commemorates the day in 1948 when the United Nations General Assembly adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. To mark the occasion, Caritas Europa is calling on the new European Commission to take action in ensuring and protecting the human rights and dignity of all. Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
Human rights, such as freedom and equality, including in the areas of agriculture, trade, taxation and migration, as well as security and development policies, are part of the EU's founding values. Ensuring and protecting these rights are among the commitments made by the European Union and its member states. According to Caritas Europa, the current EU agenda puts the Union's own economic and security interests first, to the neglect of poverty eradication, fighting inequalities and creating safe and legal pathways for migration, among others. Caritas Europa is a Catholic network present in 46 countries across Europe that works with people of all faiths to end poverty and to promote the dignity of all people. In a statement published to mark Human Rights Day this year, Caritas Europa calls on the European Union to reverse EU policies that have a negative impact on sustainable development in the Global South and to ensure that all future policies commit to leaving no one behind. The Caritas Europa statement confirms how the European Union, as the most important donor of development aid, plays an essential role in the fight against hunger. In this regard, the EU should consider the regulation of biofuels, land tenure and trade policies from a global point of view by assessing all the consequences and risks they could bring to the poorest in the world, reads the statement. Caritas Europa suggests that EU development aid emphasize integral human development over economic growth and the human dignity and human rights of every person over preventing migration to Europe. All human beings should have the opportunity to fulfill their potential in dignity, it concludes. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Meanwhile, the United Nations, the body that established Human Rights Day, this year is highlighting the role of young people in leading the way to a better future. In his speech today, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said that young people are the ones who are currently bringing human rights to life.
This year on Human Rights Day, we celebrate the role of young people in bringing human rights to life. Globally, young people are marching, organizing and speaking out for the right to a healthy environment, for the equal rights of women and girls, to participate in decision-making, and to express their opinions freely. They are marching for their right to a future of peace, justice, and equal opportunities. Every single person is entitled to all rights, civil, political, economic, social, and cultural, regardless of where they live, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, social origin, gender, sexual orientation, political or other opinion, disability or income, or any other status. On this International Day, I call on everyone to support and protect young people who are standing up for human rights.
A Chile Air Force cargo plane has crashed with 38 people on board after going missing in an isolated area between South America and the Antarctic. A rescue team is reportedly searching for survivors. The Hercules aircraft took off from the southern city of Punta Arenas in Chilean Patagonia and was heading to a base in Antarctica. The Air Force said it had yet to locate the plane or determine whether there were any survivors. In the United States, Democrats in the House of Representatives today announced formal charges against President Donald Trump that accuse him of abusing power and obstructing Congress. The full Democratic-controlled House is expected to vote on the charges or articles of impeachment next week. It's almost certain to vote to impeach the Republican president, setting the stage for a trial in the Republican-controlled state likely to begin in January. Serving a Wounded Humanity Towards Interreligious Solidarity is the title of a joint project which took place in the Vatican today. The event underscores the long-standing friendship and collaboration between the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and the World Council of Churches. A brainstorming meeting heard a number of reflections from theologians, members of the diplomatic corps and Christian charities based on their experiences of living and working for the poor, the needy and the suffering. Cardinal Miguel Ángel Ayuso, president of the council, gave the opening address and took time out of the discussions to speak to Lydia O'Kane.
Dialogue demands, first of all, to be fully identified with one's own identity and then opening oneself to the other through listening. And in this way, there is the possibility of rediscovering oneself. And here you may find this common platform that is built up of difference, but also of commonalities. And it is through these commonalities that we try to walk together in this common adventure that we may call it dialogue.
In an age of religious persecution, in an age where we're talking about a wounded humanity, in an age where there's indifference and apathy, how can churches, how can religions, how can there be an interreligious solidarity? How can you break down those walls and barriers?
Through acting. I mean, the Pope, I remember, in one interview given to Father Antonio Spadaro, at the beginning of his pontificate, I remember that the Pope responding to the question, what kind of church do you dream of? The Pope clearly said that the thing the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity. So this is the church, you know, in outing, you know, an outing church that goes to meet the necessity of the people. And today, particularly through dialogue and in an ecumenical and interreligious dimension, we are called to come to heal and to collaborate in healing the wounds of our humanity.
And that was Cardinal Miguel Ángel Ayuso, President of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, speaking there to Lydia O'Kane. And finally, Pope Francis this morning reflected on the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew's Gospel. During the homily at Mass at the Casa Santa Marta, he spoke about how the Lord guides and comforts his people, but also corrects and punishes them with the tenderness of a father and a shepherd. Robin Gomes reports.
In his homily, Pope Francis explained that the Lord always comforts us, provided we allow ourselves to be consoled. In this regard, the first reading from the book of Isaiah speaks about the Lord as the good shepherd, who gathers the flock in his arms, carrying the lambs in his bosom, and gently leading the ewes. Drawing attention to the words, in his bosom, the Pope said it is an expression of the tenderness with which God punishes, corrects, and even consoles us.
Il Signore corregge. Anche io direi il Signore punisce con tenerezza.
The Pope said that the Lord punishes with tenderness and caresses. This attitude that is neither didactic nor diplomatic is a joy that comes from within him when a sinner approaches him. In this regard, the Holy Father recalled the parable of the prodigal son, whose father longs for his son's return. And when he does return, the father cuts short his son's repentance speech and starts celebrating. In the Gospel too, the Pope said, the shepherd rejoices over the one lost sheep found more than over the 99 that were not lost. This, the Holy Father said, is the joy of the Lord when we sinners approach him and allow ourselves to be forgiven.
E tante volte pensiamo che i nostri peccati, i nostri limiti non possono essere perdonati.
The Pope noted that many times we complain, thinking that our sins and our limitations cannot be forgiven. It is at that moment that we hear the voice of the Lord, I comfort you, I am near you, which overwhelms us with tenderness. The Pope contemplated on the tenderness of Jesus for the widow of Nain as she stood before her son's coffin. The Pope said, the Lord's consolation is a grace of forgiveness. When one sins and makes mistake, the Pope said, one should allow oneself to be consoled by the Lord. Ask forgiveness, be courageous, open the door for him to caress you with the tenderness of a father and a brother. I'm Robin Gomes.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. You can also visit our website at www.vaticannews.va, and you can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. My thanks go to Joe Mauriello in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.